Diary of a Bankrupt by Julian Gotzel. Chapter 1. 17th February 2013. I had received court papers from the bank which sought to repossess my home at the end of 2012, and am accordingly in the Circuit Court in Bray, February 2013. The county registrar takes my side and berates the bank's solicitor. I walk out a happy woman, but it is only a stay of execution. The bank is to speak with me, or else she will strike the case. She says I am a human being. 17th of March 2013. I return to court the following morning, but I am no longer a human being. I am a statistic with a court order for repossession and an unsecured debt of €1 million+. I walk out of the court and I cry my eyes out in the car park. Statistics have feelings too, you know. June 2013. I walk into David Hall's debt advocacy group, the Irish Mortgage Holders Organisation, the IMHO. He says he will represent me pro bono. We discuss my options. On the one hand, I am an open and shut case. On the other hand, the new insolvency laws were proving not fit for purpose, and sadly, I was going to prove that unfitness. Luckily, with the help of the IMHO, this is not going to cost me any money. But I'm doing a lot of walking. July 2013. I have a meeting with Stephen Curtis and the IMHO and fill in my paperwork. The Insolvency Service of Ireland now knows what I had for breakfast and what colour knickers I'm wearing. At this rate, I'm not even going to be able to afford knickers, but that doesn't appear to be an appropriate box to tick for going commando. September 2013. The new Insolvency Service is finally launched, and there I am at the top of the queue. I knock and I knock, but I cannot get in. I am officially too broke. This is a club for people with money, and I don't have any. The irony is that I met another man who applied using a regular private PIP, a personal insolvency practitioner. He was charged €3,500, but the banks vetoed the proposal. So he was down €3,500, which he didn't have and had to borrow, and still stuck in a vicious circle of creditors chasing him for money. November 2013. The new bankruptcy law has come into being. The term of servitude is reduced from 12 years to 3. The fee is reduced to €650 plus stamp duty. Other restrictions are vague but daunting and include not being able to be a director of a company, not being able to run for the Dáil, and limited travel abroad. January 7th, 2014. I bring in my €650 in coins and file for bankruptcy. The fee is made up of €500 in coins and the rest in notes. I want to hand these coins directly to the Insolvency Service, but I have to lodge it at the bank instead. It doesn't feel the same. I walk back to the office with my receipt. January 11th, 2014. The fee for bankruptcy goes up a further €100, and so when I return to sign affidavits, I hand this money over, half my income for the week. Add into that car parking and diesel, and it is proving to be a very expensive process, even with the pro bono work provided by MHO. And I wait for my day in court. The Mondays come and go, and I'm still not bankrupt. Monday, February 17th, 2014. This is my day. Finally, I'm on the list. I drive up to Dublin and I'm not afraid. The team at the IMHO have my back. I am genuinely calm. We walk over to the court. I sit next to the man who lost his fee in the failed attempt at the Insolvency Service. He remarks on how intimidating the court feels with a bank of lawyers and barristers and clerks ranged up at the top. Is it a confusing mess of all rise for the judge, all sit for the cases, and all shuffle about as if at a country mass? No one is named, just initials, but there are sideways conversations, matters held over for mention, listings pushed this way and that. The Kafkaesque atmosphere is all the more strange, since we are not criminals. Why are we here in a court of law with a judge and a bank of legal professionals? Once a person is adjudicated bankrupt, the solicitor automatically comes off record, and it is handled by the Insolvency Service. We just need a room with a table and two chairs. The man whose initials I don't remember is up first. He stands when his initials are called, then sits down again. The judge looks through the papers, notes that he can advertise in the ISI web pages, and says the next court appearance is March 31st. Then it is over for him. It is my turn next. I don't even get to stand. I had hoped I might be asked a few questions by the judge. I'd like to explain why I was here. I'd like to point out the bonehead banks that effectively tripled my debt when they refused consent to sell my home in 2011. They had crushed my business and left me without an income and had almost created a chilling statistic out of my life, or rather, the near departure from it. But I don't even get to stand. and then I'm adjudicated bankrupt. Tuesday, February 18, 2014. I hit the first of my new world bankrupt problems. I need to pay my broadband provider, but I cannot transfer the money using my online banking. I need to update my toll charge, but I cannot add my Visa card. After an hour, it finally dawns on me. My account is frozen. It will be released when I meet the official assignee, but that is not until March 31st. I cannot wait 6 weeks to unlock my account. I have a little over 400 in my account, and I need that for my rent. Wednesday, February 19, 2014. I hit the wall. I wake up with the most excruciating headache you can imagine. It is migraineic in its intensity. I get up and I take painkillers. I return to bed. It is half term and there are no school runs. I cancel my early morning walk with my neighbor. I sleep until 10:30, but I'm still groggy. I get a cup of coffee, return to bed. I am absolutely floored. I have no energy, and my head feels as though I've gone 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. I spend the day in bed. Thursday, February 20th, 2014. I get post. It is a letter from the insolvency service. They ask me to fill in my personal data form. Is this where I get to confess my lack of intimate garments due to extreme poverty? But the form is missing. I check out the envelope several times, an imitation of Forrest Gump. Nothing flutters to the ground, so I ring the number at the bottom of the letter. I start to explain my problem, but I am told I need to talk to a bankruptcy official. They will call me back after lunch. I busy myself in the meantime. After lunch, at least 5 minutes after lunch, they have still not called. I pick up the phone to ring them. Have I turned into Forrest Gump? I speak with a very nice woman. She tells me she will post out the forms, teething problems of the new system. Then I ask her about my bank account and when will they thaw it out. She is shocked. It is not meant to be frozen, just the funds remitted to the insolvency service. I now sit down. It is I who is shocked. Take my funds, I echo. It turns out that all my money and all my assets now belong to the insolvency service, even the €400 in my bank account. How will I pay my rent? I ask in shock. This is not really her problem. I'm close to tears, snarkily telling her I shall have to get a tent and finish the call. I sit in shock. I know that I have to metaphorically empty my pockets for the insolvency service, but I did not think that my €400 would be seized. I am very upset. Last month, I had not been able to pay for my rent from my bank account. I had to wait until I got my children's allowance to pay the remainder. Now, I had lost my €400. I ring the bank. I play phone tag with the customer relations officer. He is very nice, but tells me my account is stopped. I tell him this should not be the case. He tells me that he's operating under bank guidelines from head office. I tell him that the horse's mouth has categorically informed me that my account is not to be frozen. He tells me it is company directions. It is stalemate. I ask him, how do we fix it? He says, get the insolvency service to ask the bank to remit my money, their money, and then give permission for me to continue to have a bank account. I return to the woman. My parting comment had been about living in a tent. Now I need her help. In fairness, the tent comment is not referred to. She says that while the law is very exact, she cannot influence how banks conduct their processes. My account is gone. My money is gone. She suggests I open a new account and assures me there should be no difficulty. I thank her and hang up. Living in the country as I do, the nearest bank is 20 miles away. My post office, where I receive my job finder's allowance, is 10 miles in the opposite direction. I'm going to be spending my time tomorrow driving, filling out forms, trying to pacify different suppliers, and figuring out where I'm going to find another €400, which is why I'm also writing this at 4 a.m. in the morning. Friday, February 21st, 2014. It is straws that break camels' back, not rods of iron, although they will do it too. But straws are the currency of bankruptcy and despair. I had withstood so many slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, but the straws almost did me in. I woke up today with a list prepared in the small hours of yesterday. I paid bills, I collected my job finder's allowance, I bought stamps, I visited my bank in Gori. I must have travelled almost 60 miles from village to village. The customer relations officer in Gori opened my new account for me, transferring most of the direct debits. Sadly, there was no money in my account, so I transferred my weekly job finder's allowance into the empty account. I have survived my first week of bankruptcy. A big thank you to the team and the IMHO for hand-holding, nose-wiping, back-thumping, nerve-calming, and always putting up with my oscillating energies. If going bankrupt was like getting married, at my hen party I'd be getting several tents. It's always handy to have a tent. End of chapter 1.